Welcome everyone to Balance Your Life podcast. My name is Megan Farrell and I'm the host of this podcast and the creator of Balance by Megan. On this podcast, we talk about all things yoga, wellness, health, and spirituality with guests from around the world. So grab your crystals, grab your essential oils, and let's dive into it. Welcome back to another episode of Balance Your Life. My name is Megan Farrell. I'm the host of this show, creator of Balance by Megan, which is a platform designed to inspire and empower you to begin and maintain your yoga, health, and wellness journey. I'm also an international yoga and meditation teacher, minus COVID, which is currently going on still at the time of this recording, where the international part is kind of on a back burner for the time being, but I am excited to get back to traveling when that's available. So, if you guys listened to last week's podcast episode, you'll know that there was no intro into that episode, and that is because my computer was in the shop for the last, you guys, it's been a hell of a last 2 weeks. My aunt had passed away, which I also talked about in last week's podcast episode, which is why you didn't get an episode previous on that previous Monday. Then my car was in the shop for two separate times. So 2 days, but on two separate occasions. And then my computer has been in shop for the past like 10 days on and off. Like it went in for a virus removal. Then I picked it up and then I was having graphic issues. It went in, I picked it up, same thing. That went back and forth for like 3 times. So all this to say, last week I made do with my husband's laptop, but I did not have the intro. So just a little bit of a ramble for you on this Monday morning. I just wanted to let you know why there was no intro. A few people were like, hey, did you notice that there wasn't an intro? Yes, I know. I totally forgot about it as I was recording the podcast episode, or else I would have let you know. But here we are. It's Monday. How is everyone doing? It's been a little cooler here the last few days, you know, maybe about a week now. For me, I love the heat. The hotter, the better, but it's been a nice change. I know a lot of people have been enjoying this weather, so. Anyways, what has everybody been up to? What's new? What's exciting? I am so excited for today's podcast episode with Tony Marinucci. Tony is a registered dietitian with a master's degree in nutrition and dietetics from Westchester, New York. She is the business owner of Diet Tips with Tony Marinucci, who provides online nutrition coaching. She works with busy working women who struggle knowing how to eat to fuel their bodies optimally so they can have the energy and self-confidence to live a life of freedom. Freedom from negative thoughts, self-doubt, and what-ifs. She uses her social media platforms to end the restrictive diet culture by providing simple strategies to help people commit to healthier living with scientific-based evidence and real-world application. She recently just gave a TEDx talk and is working on her very first book, where she discusses the parallels between dieting, dating, and romantic relationships and how we treat them the same. You guys are going to absolutely love Tony. She was a gem to have on the show. And on today's episode, we talk about her experience struggling with weight and body image, how she made little changes in her food intake that made a big difference, as well as how she chooses what to eat based on how she'll feel and not how she'll look. We also discuss simple but effective ways to start incorporating healthy eating into our lives, her thoughts on diet culture, and so much more. Before we dive into today's podcast episode, this episode of the podcast has been brought to you by my Yoga On Demand online membership. What if you could do yoga whenever your schedule allowed it? On the back deck, outside, in your living room, pretty much anywhere where you could fit a mat. What if I told you you could do as little as 10 minutes a day and start to feel strong, flexible, confident in yourself, and stress less? Introducing the Balance by Megan online yoga membership. So with my online membership, you get to do yoga on your time and at home. You get an access to a variety of easy to follow modern day yoga classes and flows, modern day meditations that will help you focus, relax, and manifest everything you desire in your life. You get members only videos added each month, and it's a chance for you to gain strength and flexibility in the body and to find a calmness and a peace within your mind, all without leaving the comforts of your home. This online membership is something I've been working on for the last few years, and it's finally here. You get everything that I just mentioned in this membership for $10 a month. You can also cancel at any time, so this is not a year-long commitment. You can do it month by month. It's $10, and I know you're going to gain so much value from it. It's how I got started on my yoga and meditation journey, and as you know, it has absolutely changed my life. And that is what I'm hoping to do for you with my online membership. So to join, you can use the link in the show notes. If you'd like to learn just a little bit more about it, you can read some testimonials on my website. I will also link that in the show notes for you. This episode of the podcast has also been brought to you by Energy Bits. Energy Bits are tiny nutrition tablets made purely of algae, a sustainable whole food crop that supports your body and immune system. Energy Bit tablets are the highest quality strains of spirulina and chlorella algae, organically grown and tested for purity, safety, and nutrient density at FDA-approved labs in the USA. Energy Bits is giving all Balance Your Life podcast listeners 20% off when you use code MEGHAN, MEGHAN, at checkout on any of their online products. So I've been doing the Energy Bits for a little while now. I've recently got my husband on board with it. I give him 5 tablets to swallow back in the afternoon. I do the same thing. We're good to go. They're super easy to just take with you on the go. If you get the big package, they come with like a little carrying aid case. I store them in the fridge when I'm not using them. So we take them, we're good to go. And it's a super easy way to, remove toxins from the body and give your body that immune system that right now, especially with COVID-19, we could all use of. So make sure you use code MEGHAN, MEGHAN, for 20% off at checkout on any of their online products. Use the link in the show notes. Without further ado, please welcome Tony Marinucci to the Balance Your Life podcast. Welcome to the show, Tony. I'm so excited to have you on.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much.
Can you give our listeners a little overview of who you are, what you do for a living, and where in the world you are currently joining us from today?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Tony Marinucci. I'm from New York, and I am a registered dietitian. I provide online nutrition coaching where I help people break up with diet culture, restrictive eating behaviors, and really just teach them how to embrace just a healthier lifestyle and figuring out like what fits best for them.
I love this so much. I'm selfishly so excited for this conversation. Nutrition has been out of everything that I've done in my life, has been a harder one for me to kind of wrap my head around. I don't love the term diet, I think, because from my experience, it comes with such a negative connotation. But I love the idea of just like, eating healthier and like not making it, as you and I have talked about before, like not a punishment, but something that's really good for your body. So I am so excited for this podcast interview. I'm curious, how did you get started with nutrition to begin with? Like, what led you down this path of wanting to even offer it to other people?
Well, like I think most professionals that are in the helping field of some sort, they personally struggled with what it is that they're helping with. So I personally struggled with my weight. I was really insecure about my body. I was teased about my weight. I was told I was, I hate the word fat. It really makes me cringe, but that was something I was told on a regular basis. And it really got to me. I thought I was super happy and go lucky, and I was. And then after a while, it's like society says you're supposed to look a certain way, be a certain way, and you start to question yourself. And so, unfortunately, I started to listen to those messages and I started thinking I needed to lose weight. But like most people, when they think of weight loss, they think of what can I take away? And it became very restrictive. So I would not eat. And then, of course, when we know when we don't eat, we end up overeating as a result. And then, because I overate, I'd punish myself and I would work out more. I was actually very physically active, but being, you know, the bigger girl on the basketball team, like it was, I always felt like, oh, I was really good at basketball, but like I'd be better if I lost weight, you know? So for me, it was just never enough. And so I'd come home from basketball practice and work out more in my basement. And so unfortunately, those eating behaviors kind of stuck with me for most of my young adult, yeah, I would say like most of my like younger teens into my teens as well. And then I realized like it wasn't serving me in any way because I was miserable. I was irritable. I couldn't focus. My weight was all I could think about. I was constantly obsessed about what I was going to eat or not eat. I was self-conscious when I would go to social events, all of those things. So fast forward, and I was like, okay, this can't be the way. If it is the way, I'm miserable. I don't want this to be. I'd rather be overweight, to be honest. Like, this is just not fun. So instead of going that restrictive route, I really started to focus on how food was going to make me feel, not so much how food was going to make me look. And I started using food as fuel and as a form of nourishment and kind of looking at things and reading labels and just educating myself a little bit more. And then what I tell people, what I started doing really early on was rather than trying to follow a meal plan or, you know, tell myself I was only going to eat this and not that, I kind of just started like making small changes and small swaps in my eating habits. So I would go from having like, I always tell people this story, but I would eat, I love muffins, and there's nothing wrong with a muffin. But when you actually look down to the nutrition content, it's really like a cupcake without the frosting. Like, there's not much nutritional value to a muffin. Like, and that would be like a classic breakfast that I would get. And so I would do, I like switched to like a reduced fat blueberry muffin from Dunkin' Donuts. And like, I thought I was being healthy. But then when I looked further, I'm like, you know what? No, actually, a better breakfast might be like oatmeal that I make, not the one with all the sugar, you know? And then maybe having like eggs in the morning sometimes. And so little changes like that, I started to like make throughout the whole day. And I started noticing like I've had more energy, I had more confidence. And I was like, there has to be something to this. So that's when I decided to go to school to become a registered dietitian. And I got my master's in nutrition, and I've been coaching people their nutrition ever since. And it's been really, really amazing and rewarding because as I was learning, I adapted and changed what I learned. And I was noticing the differences in my body and how it made me feel. And then that allowed me to kind of get other people to do the same thing. So rather telling them to do eat this and not that and follow this and not that, I actually just coach them through helping them be an observer of their body and what foods, you know, bother their stomach or don't bother their stomach, or how much is enough and how much makes them feel if they don't have any of it, how much do they need to, like, is too little restrictive or, you know, stuff like that, like helping them kind of figure out what works best for them. And that's what I would consider my specialty being.
Oh, this, first of all, this story makes me so excited because so similar to mine. And I love the idea of adding things to the diet or adding things to the lifestyle rather than taking away. Because I think most of us, when we hear of taking away, like it has such this like negative connotation, like, oh, like I have to do this. Like I have to eat all these things or eat my fruits and veggies because it's a punishment to me. And rather than finding kind of the joy in it or looking at the positive, like, hey, no, if I eat my fruits and veggies, like I can gain more energy, I can gain more clarity. I'm not that fuzzy in the brain anymore. We, as a society, I think we go to the negative so quickly, so fast. So I love the idea, like you were saying, of like switching things in, like instead of having a muffin, which I love a good chocolate chip muffin. I had one the other day, but I won't probably have one for like another 6 months. But it was like so good at the time.
Yeah, it's okay to have if you can recognize that there's a difference, and this is what I teach a lot of people. There's a difference between eating for nourishment and nourishment as fuel and eating for hunger and then eating for pleasure. It's okay to eat for pleasure. And sometimes the way you are nourishing, you're not necessarily nourishing your body, but you're nourishing your soul. And that's okay. Because sometimes, you know, maybe a muffin reminds you of your childhood, and that's something that kind of brings you comfort. That's okay if it's happening intermittently, but if it's happening regularly, that's when we would consider someone more of like an emotional eater, which is what I usually help people kind of manage. So being able to identify that, like, it's okay to use food for comfort sometimes, but we don't want that to be your all the time go-to sort of a thing. We really want to start to look at food as fuel and nourishment first, and then pleasure and all that stuff. It's part of it. So I don't want to just eat food that you don't like, but it's not the only part of it. So for so long, I would only eat if it tasted good.
Right.
And now I eat for things that taste good and have nutritional benefits to my body.
Yeah, this is, I love this segue actually. And I just want to give a little story here, because I think, Tony, you'd be like, oh my God, you're like my dream client there for a long time. And it's funny because you were saying, like, for you, you were overweight, and that, you know, you, the outside influences got to you. I've always been a very small person, and I think that's what messes people up. Because I was small, people are like, oh, well, you must be healthy. I was literally like, I could live on Wonder Bread, white Wonder Bread at that, chicken fingers and fries, not sure what a vegetable is unless it was corn or carrot. And I was so unhealthy. But I think it's, you're right, it's like this, people see the outside, and there's, first of all, society, especially as a young teenager, sucks. They look at everything on the outside, and it's on the outside I look like a healthier person. And I know that would have caught up with me in my adult years. I made a change so that wasn't the case, but I ate horribly, and I really, really reflected in how I felt internally. So I would love to talk about with you, what is an easy right now swap for somebody to do where they're like, you know what, Tony, I know I don't eat super great, but I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to really cook per se. You know, my parents never really, it was like meat and potatoes and like corn as a veg. Where do I even start on the most basic level?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I'll probably give you a couple of answers, just because it really does depend on what the person, where the person's currently at and what they're most willing or ready to change. Some pretty common things that I usually have my clients implement. Number one, I work, like I said, I work with a lot of emotional eaters. I also work with people who have a history of binge eating disorder or currently struggling with binging, or a disordered eating. So intentionally skipping meals and feeling guilty after eating and stuff like that. So what I say that to say that very common, I'll have people that struggle with having, they have, don't have the healthiest relationship with food, and they're not looking at it as fuel. They're looking at it as punishment. So they'll try to not eat all day, right? And then they'll just say, and I'll just have like, you know, a little, a balanced lunch and like a nice small dinner, and then that's it. But we know that if you don't fuel yourself, your body's going to want more food. So first thing I'll usually tell people, if you're not currently eating breakfast, eat breakfast. A balanced breakfast that has some protein, that has some carbohydrates, that has some healthy fats, something that's going to be substantial to get your metabolism started. And that way you can then, it'll, chances are you won't be ravenous for lunch. The cravings won't come up. It'll be a lot easier for you to make healthier choices when you're not getting to that place of feeling starving. So that's number one. Number two is very common. I'll have people implement what's called the plate method. It's a really basic way to help you understand that all foods can fit, but portions do matter. So a good example of that is if you're building your plate, we want half of the plate to be non-starchy vegetables. So really fill up on the veggies. And when I say non-starchy, we're saying things like broccoli, cauliflower, kale, spinach, any like leafy green, Brussels sprouts, the cruciferous vegetables, stuff like that. And then the other quarter of your plate would be a starch or a whole grain. So that's where you can incorporate a starchy vegetable if you want. So the starchy vegetables are corn, peas, potato, and then your winter squashes, like a butternut squash, acorn squash, or spaghetti squash. And I actually usually encourage people to choose the starchy vegetables over the grains most often. Not saying that you can't have rice or pasta, don't most definitely can. We want to be mindful that if you are choosing those grains, you're choosing the whole grain sources, so the ones that are higher in fiber. So whole grain bread, brown rice, quinoa, like a chickpea-based pasta or something like that, and that would fill up another quarter of the plate. And then the other quarter of your plate would be your protein, using healthy cooking sources like baking, grilling, broiling, or like steaming, limiting the fried. Not that you can't have the skin and that you can't have fried food, but most of the time we want to try to use a healthy cooking method of a protein. So it could be chicken, it could be fish, it could even be like a lean cut of steak. It could be tofu if you're a vegan or vegetarian. We want to make sure that it's nice and balanced. So that way you understand that it doesn't mean you have to go no carb or low carb, right? We need carbohydrates to fuel our body. At the same time, we don't want to neglect the veggies. So making them the star of the dish is super, super helpful. And we definitely don't want to neglect protein, because that's what keeps our bones strong, which then keeps our metabolism working. And it helps with that filling factor as well. So the whole grain, so all of the nutrient dense veggies, the whole grain starches, and the protein, that combination together is going to help you be really, really feel really, really full. And it's more likely you'll be able to then only have one plate. You know, if you're still hungry after, maybe you need to add a little bit more, but most people can be satisfied with one plate if they balance it properly.
Yeah. Awesome. I think those tips are so handy, especially for somebody like I use myself as an example when it comes to nutrition, because up until like a few years ago, I had no idea what I was doing in the kitchen. My parents were very basic cooks, you know, like there wasn't a lot of flavor to things. It was like, here's a chicken, here's a rice or potato, and then here's a vegetable. So it was hard for me to kind of know where to even start. And I think your tips are super helpful. I'm curious to even backtrack on it. I know you said you're not a huge fan of like the diet culture, but what do you say to someone who's like, I want to start the keto diet, I want to start paleo, I want to start, I feel like there's so many of them. I want to start just eating like the carnivore diet. Like, is there a time and place for any of that? Or are you saying like, let that go out the window, stick with what you were saying, the half veg, quarter protein, and then quarter starchy?
So that's a great question. So first question is always why. Like, why is it that you want to do those diets? Like, is it digestive issues? Is it weight loss? You know, do you want to just be healthier? Chances are it's probably like all of the above. And so I usually ask, well, if there was another way to do that where you didn't have to cut out carbohydrates, or you didn't have to follow like eating from only certain food groups, like, would you want to do that? And the answer is usually yes. So with that said, I can't rob people of their experiences. And I share this, I'm actually in the process of writing a book. And the book is all about the correlations between dieting, dating, and romantic relationships. And what I share in the book is that, like, if you think about when you it's very rare that you marry your high school sweetheart. Those are like the anomaly, right? Most people need to date around before they can figure out who they want to spend the rest of their life with, right? So it doesn't mean that those people that you're in a relationship with are good or bad or whatever. It's just, it's part of your growing experience. Like, it's part of your learning process. So I say that to say that if you're going to attempt a diet, in understanding that it's not the end result, it's there just to teach you something and it's an experience, then I actually encourage, I don't necessarily encourage it, but I wouldn't say don't do it. I almost just say do it to learn something, but don't think it's the one. Okay. So, because most people are trying to fit their life into a diet rather than trying to create a diet to support their lifestyle. And that is the difference between someone who is successful in the short term versus successful in the long term. So if you want to lose weight just to prove that you can and are okay with gaining it back, then try a restrictive diet. But if you want to lose weight and keep it off and feel good all the time, not just for a few weeks or a few months, then I would probably go more of like the habitual route. So looking at like, what am I doing? Am I drinking enough water? Am I getting enough sleep? Am I intentionally moving my body? Do I have protein at every meal? Do I have lots of vegetables when I consume foods? Like, you know, those sorts of things. I think at the end of the day, once you do all of those diets, you end up finding that restriction is not super helpful Actually, I usually say that restriction is not the answer, it's part of the problem, right? But chances are, for example, something like keto, you know, you don't need to neglect, get rid of carbohydrates, but maybe the sugary beverages or the, you know, the ice cream that you used to have every night at the end of the night, right? So like, maybe that's why, you know, maybe now you started adding vegetables to your dish, right? So like, maybe those are the things that have been helping you, but not so much the fact that you went into ketosis, which is BS, and we need to like throw, it's not BS, it's like an actual thing that your body goes through, but it's not necessary to achieve fat loss, which you can just do simply just by being in a slight caloric deficit.
First, I'm so excited you brought that up, because that I've heard that term come up a lot lately. And I'm like, again, not really knowing nutrition, I'm like, what the hell are people talking about? Mm-hmm. It's also, it's my favorite when people are like, I've been eating really well, but like I consume like a liter of pop a day or like four glasses of red wine at dinner time. And I'm like, I feel like you're undoing everything that you're right. trying to do when it comes to eating healthy. And again, a glass of wine is not going to overdo it, but mm-hmm. 3 to 4 glasses every single night is probably going to undo some of the work that you've been doing. When it comes to eating healthy, are there any sort of tips or tricks that you would give to someone who is, maybe they're someone who they're alone, so they have dinner in front of the TV, they have a big glass of milk, or they have a glass of wine when it comes to eating. What kind of environment would you give to someone to eat a better meal and to kind of be a little bit more mindful about what they're eating?
Mm-hmm. Well, first thing is usually I try to encourage people not to eat distracted. So trying not to eat while you're watching TV. I know it's not always realistic. And then sometimes socially, it's just like, you know, you and your spouse might like have a glass of wine together and like sit and all that. The biggest tip I could probably say for that is, number one, before you snack, ask yourself if you've had 3 meals that day. Because over snacking usually happens as a result of maybe skipping meals or mindless eating. So, or emotional eating, right? So, but what I tell people is there's a difference between physical hunger and psychological hunger. We never want them to overlap, which I find is very common when I first start working with people. They go all day without eating, then their husband or their job or their children or whatever stress them out. Now they're starving, they're angry, they're irritable, they're upset. And that's when the disaster zone happens. That's when things just are just like, I just want to get anything I can get my hands on. I don't care about my diet. I'll worry about it tomorrow or on Monday or whatever that is, right? So we always want to make sure that the physical hunger aspect is in check. So 3 square meals a day, potentially snacks in between. So just as long as we have that under control first, that's super helpful. Then if we're going to go sit down and we are choosing to eat, although distracted, and we're going to have a snack, a glass of wine, popcorn, a glass of milk, whatever that is, predetermine how much you're going to have. Portion that out and then bring that with you. So if you only want to have 15 chips with some salsa, don't bring all the salsa and all the chips. Pre-measure what you want, put the bag away, sit down, eat it, and eat it slowly. Because when we eat it slowly, we can actually enjoy it. Because at that point, it's not for fuel, it's just for enjoyment, right? You're just choosing to eat because it's crunchy or something like that. Mm-hmm. Then eat it slow. And then always drink water. Before you choose, if you do want to go get some more, be intentional about how much more you're going to get and make sure you drink water first to make sure that you're actually hungry, not just thirsty, or maybe just drinking that water. Maybe it gives you just a little bit of space and time to really reflect kind of, do I even really want more?
Awesome. No, I think those tips are super helpful. I've never been a huge advocate of people eating in front of the TV. I get to, if you're living alone, that sometimes it helps, you know, feel like there's company or you feel like there's other people around. But I think that's where we get, I mean, I've done it where you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I ate all of that dinner. I didn't mean to eat all of it. Or, you know, you've been snacking and all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, I snacked a little bit more than I thought I did. So I think, you know, this mindfulness, I try to do it in every aspect of mindfully eating, so making sure that I'm not being distracted. And I think there's also a time and place too where like I will eat, even if I'm like, oh, I'm a little hungry, I could probably go for seconds. I'm like, you know what, let's give it like 5 to 10 minutes and just see. And usually at that point I'm like, oh, thank goodness I didn't eat more, because I find, at least for me, there's like this very fine line of like, oh, I'm like, I feel comfortable, like I've eaten enough, and then it's like, wow, I've eaten a lot, like I feel gross now, like I ate too much. So thank you for sharing those tips.
You're welcome.
When it comes to eating well, is there anything else that you recommend people implement into their daily life, whether it's trying to just lose weight or maybe they just want a more healthier lifestyle? Is it like eat well, but you can Netflix and chill for 9 hours? Or is it like eat well with the tips that I've provided and also do da 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 da?
Well, it really comes down to the individual. So the biggest thing that I can tell, if you're choosing to just do this on your own and you're not going to work with a nutrition professional to help you through it, know that it's going to take a little bit of time. I always tell people working with a coach is going to accelerate your progress, and it's probably going to decrease a lot of confusion, and it's going to really help you kind of get to the point rather than kind of, you know, dwindling. At the same time, we don't always need, some people might want to do it on their own, or, you know, maybe they're choosing not to work with a professional, which is totally fine. So if you're going to choose to do it on your own, then we need some sort of assessment or tracker or accountability of some kind. So tracking can be a helpful tool, but it can also be a little bit daunting, and sometimes it can be more stressful than it is helpful. So it's kind of finding the right way of tracking for you. So because one thing I usually say is if you can track it, you can change it, right? We track our finances, you know, we might track our fitness goals. So we want to track our nutrition. But for some people, using an app that has a lot of numbers and calories and stuff like that, although it might be helpful in bringing awareness, sometimes it could be a little bit like they can go back to feeling restricted. Like if they only are allowed a certain amount of calories, they might get close to that and say, screw it, and then just stop tracking and then go off track. So for some people, it's super helpful. With some of my clients, I usually have them take photos of their food. It's a really nice way to just make sure it's like, oh, do I have that veggie there? Do I have that protein there? Do I have that starch there? Like, is my plate colorful? You know, if I have to stop and pause to take a picture of my cookies, I'm probably not going to have a whole sleeve or the whole box. I'm probably just going to have a few and maybe with a glass of milk, which is fine. You know, so it's doing stuff like that. Or some people are like old school, like pen and paper, just writing that out. All that to say, the purpose of tracking, it doesn't need to be a forever thing, but it is to bring awareness to the things that you're doing most often. A lot of people get this wrong. They think that the reason why they're not healthy or they can't lose the weight is because of the holidays or because of barbecues in the summer or whatever that is. Believe it or not, success is in the details of what you do every single day. So it's being really clear about, like, going back to what I was saying earlier, like, what do I usually have for breakfast? Is there a way I can make this a little bit more nutritious? Is there a way I can maybe add a little bit more protein, add a little bit more fiber, add more healthy fats? Maybe because I'm adding all of those things, maybe in general, the portions will come down and can maybe be a little bit lower in calories. You know, is there a way that, you know, in every day at 2 o'clock, I want something sweet and I automatically go for like a candy bar or a chocolate bar. Is there a way maybe I can do like a chocolate protein bar that's like still tastes that way, but it's a little bit more nutritious? Or maybe I'm better off having like, you know, some apple with peanut butter or a little bit more nutritious or whatever that is. And really kind of going through and assessing like why, noticing your behaviors like, oh, wow, I tend to do really quote unquote good during the day. And then I overeat at night. And then it's taking a look back and it's like, maybe we're skipping breakfast, you know, like maybe we're not eating enough. So being able to kind of sift through and look and see where are these things, where do you kind of keep, I don't want to say like screwing up, but like kind of like not 100%, you know, adhering to something that you think would be beneficial or helpful, and then looking back on why, and then identifying like where it is you can make that change.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I think, well, what you were saying before too about having a coach, especially for something you don't know a lot about, it's so helpful to have someone say, do this. Like for me, start adding more vegetables into your diet. Oh, okay. Like it's something that maybe some people are like, well, I know how to do that. And then other people are like, oh, I didn't know I should be switching over to whole wheat, or I didn't know I should be, you know, adding more colorful veggies into my life. Having a coach and tracking things. And I want to say too, track it so you're informed. Don't track it so you're like like you were saying, I'm counting all these calories and now I'm feeling stressed because I had 10 more calories than I was supposed to, that I think we get into dangerous territories when it comes to tracking calories and tracking things down to the, you know, to the absolute T. I remember a girlfriend of mine doing, what was the big one for a bit? Weight Watchers, where you had to, like, you got points.
Yeah.
For everything. And like the amount of stress this girl was under, I was like, you are stressing me out by knowing how many points you're allowed to have throughout a day. Like, there's a time and place. If you want to work with a coach and like, hey, I need to lose 50 pounds, they'll be able to say, okay, do this, watch this, but don't fall into the territory of the rabbit hole of it letting it consume you and eating you. And like, now you're stressed all night because you're not sure if eating that one extra, I don't know, protein bar was like the pitfall of you putting on 5 pounds. Is, I know we were talking about too, rather than removing things from your diet, adding more nutrition to it, but is there like one thing that you're like, oh my god, I wish people would stop drinking pop, or I wish people would stop having an entire chocolate cake on a weekly basis? Is there one thing that you're like, I would love for the majority of people to remove this from their diet and it would make a huge difference in their life?
It's a good question. I can't say that. No.
No? Okay.
I really can't, because I think everyone's so individual. So for someone, the answer might be cutting out soda. For others, it might be cutting back on alcohol. For others, it might be the ice cream at night. But when I work with someone, there's usually many things to work on. And so although the ice cream at night might be an issue, we first need to tackle the drinking of the alcohol on the weekend. So like, everyone's issues are not equal, if that makes sense, or the areas for improvement are not equal. So that's where the word healthy is so relative to the person. Healthy for you and what's healthy to me are completely different. So that's why, yeah, unfortunately, I can't think of like a universal thing that I just wish anyone would kind of stop doing. I guess the one thing I would say is I would love for people to stop thinking it's so all or nothing.
Yes. Like, I couldn't agree more with you. I started working with a client at the start of the year, and it was like, I need to lose this amount of weight. I don't do exercise. I don't eat well, but I want to work out 7 days a week. I want to do it for an hour. I want to switch my diet. It's like, you are setting yourself up for failure. I love the idea of adding things. I'm selfishly, I have a very curious question because I get mixed reviews on this. What is your opinion when it comes to dairy? And I know it's different for every person, but is it like, I'm pro dairy, or I'm like, I don't love people consuming dairy products or milk?
That's a great question. There's really nothing wrong with dairy unless you have a GI related issue. So if you're lactose intolerant, if you have maybe some people who have IBS, have issues with dairy. For me personally, I noticed that if I have too much dairy, I start to get pimples on my skin. Like, so I just choose I have like, the recommendation is about 3 servings a day. I probably don't do that much, but either way, if anything, it usually comes down to what are you having in excess? But yeah, there's nothing like ultimately wrong with dairy. There's no studies. There's some people that say it's inflammatory, but it's really only if it's making you inflamed, you probably have a gut issue. So that's where it's like, we don't want to say that dairy is the problem. It's probably your stomach's the problem. Like, there's something wrong with your gut. And once we heal your gut, chances are you'll probably be able to tolerate dairy a little bit more, unless you don't have the lactase enzyme to actually break down lactose, which is found in dairy products.
Awesome. And then I have one more question for you that I think comes up a lot for me, and I don't really know how to direct people. But would you say, for someone who is like, I'm pretty sure I have IBS or celiac disease, or, you know, I'm consistently bloated. Do you encourage people to get some sort of testing done before they start fixing their nutrition? Or do you think, oh, we'll do nutrition first and that might fix the problem, quote unquote, the problem?
Yeah. So first thing, if you have a gut issue or stomach issue, you're always bloated, you definitely want to go to a gastroenterologist to see what's going on. Like anything, it depends on who your GI doctor is. Sometimes they're super great. Sometimes they're not so great. Sometimes they know what tests are on. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're like, there's nothing wrong with you. You just have gas. And you're like, nope, I'm pretty sure something's really wrong. Like, yeah. So all that to say, you definitely want to get tested and kind of figure out what the root cause is. At the same time, sometimes I actually just have I could almost like read the text right now. I just got a text from a client who graduated from my program, just got her test results back from the GI. We worked together for 6 months and we fixed her nutrition and her gut and her all those issues. And she just got, the first time ever, her colon was completely clear, completely healed, completely better. But we still didn't know what the root cause was. We weren't sure if it was like a thyroid condition leading to the gut issues, if it was a Crohn's issue or whatever. But point being, she had a history of Crohn's, and through working together without doing any other tests to figure out if there was something else going on, we changed her nutrition and her gut is healed. Okay. That's because she worked with a professional though. I will say, unfortunately, if you try to heal, there's a difference between like eating to be healthy versus eating to heal. Mm-hmm. There's like, do you understand the difference? Like if someone has a medical condition or diagnosis, they need to work with a nutrition professional, a registered dietitian who understands how the body is during that time. And that's going to be really beneficial than trying to like figure out doing your own like elimination diet or like following a FODMAP diet or hearing that gluten-free and dairy-free is good for your gut and you try to do it on your own. It's super stressful and stress itself damages the gut and can cause bloating. So it's not recommended to do it on your own. But like I said, I understand that everybody can work with a dietitian. Unfortunately, insurance doesn't always cover it depending on where you live. But with that said, just reach out to someone. If you're listening to this and you have gut issues, feel free to reach out to me. I'll give you some resources and hopefully be able to lead you in a better direction than just trying to do it on your own.
For sure. Amazing. I love that your client went through that. I'm a big believer that given the right environment, that the body can heal a lot of its own issues. It's naturally designed to kind of bounce back. But you need somebody to, in every aspect, it's nice to have somebody who can help you with your health. It's nice for someone, if you're not really prone to exercise, maybe you get a personal trainer or something to kind of help you, you know, figure out how to move the body. I think when we, you know, eat well, we sleep well, we drink enough water, we move the body, we breathe right, I think the body is designed to kind of heal itself naturally. But sometimes it does require help, and sometimes it does require a little bit of extra, you know, influence and whatever the case would be. Like if you said your client healed themselves from Crohn's disease, sometimes being in the yoga space, which is what I'm in, some people will be diagnosed with like cancer and they're like, you know, I'm here to like heal myself with essential oils. And you're like, well, maybe we need to do some other things just to, you know, help with that. And that's my two cents on that though. Is there anything you want to leave the audience with, whether it's another tip that you're like, start to add this into your diet, or, you know, if you're going to eat well, try to move the body for 30 minutes, or anything that we haven't covered that you're like, I wish people knew this.
Yeah, well, I guess it kind of goes back to like it, all the pieces matter. So as much as I'm a registered dietitian and I believe that nutrition really has so much power over you, and I think you should or can work towards improving that, if you don't set up your environment for you to be able to do that, it's going to be really, really challenging. So I think this has just been recently what I've been talking about, so I'm going to just share it here, but sleep is so important. Because think about it, if you don't get enough sleep, so 7 to 9 hours a night, undisrupted, hopefully, then you are going to be more tired. So you're going to grab for food, you're going to grab for calories as a unit for energy, right? So those who don't get enough sleep, the average excess calories that someone who doesn't get enough sleep per day is 250 calories per day. That's a half a pound a week. right? So if you're doing it in a healthy way, we're not doing crazy amounts of weight loss per week, believe it or not, a half a pound of weight loss per week is pretty healthy and balanced, but you're not helping your body do that by not getting enough sleep. By not getting enough sleep, you're probably less likely to put in more effort in your workout. You might skip your workout. You might be irritable and hangry and stressed out. And therefore, like, what's the point of eating healthy and working out if you're miserable, if you're just tired all the time? It's going to be, you're going to be less likely to kind of focus on your work, which I always tell people, I'm helping you to be healthy so you can do things and be productive and not just like, you know, it's not just about eating healthy. Eating healthy is the start of you to living the life that you really want to live. So if you're not getting enough sleep, like, you're, those days going to drag, you're not going to really get through things. So all that to say that sleep is so important, because when you are more energy, you're also happier. You're mm-hmm. in a better mood. You're more likely to see things in a better light. And you're less likely to kind of just make impulsive decisions and choices. Or sometimes we don't make any choices at all because we're so exhausted. Yeah. So it really helps you, I think. So try, if anything, definitely, yeah, prepare ahead, make healthy food, you know, do your best that way. But getting on some kind of a sleep schedule, so if you're able to go to bed at the same time every night and wake up at the same time every morning, that's going to just be the start to you really learning how to create and set boundaries and make it easier for you to kind of plan your day. Because if every day you wake up at 7 a.m., then you know you have certain pockets and windows where you're able to kind of maybe prepare your breakfast or make some veggies or, you know, go to put in a grocery order or whatever that is.
I'm so glad you brought it up. I'm such a huge advocate of sleep. I think it's one of the most underrated things we talk about as a society. And as you know, even I'm so lucky with my doctor. My doctor's answer for like everything, if I'm not feeling well or, you know, something's going on, he's like, rest and sleep, rest and sleep, rest and sleep. Like the mm-hmm. body will heal itself when it's sleeping. And it's, you and I talked about this before. It was one thing that I noticed that when I started to eat, and we're not talking like incredibly well. I still could go a long way when it comes to eating, but I definitely eat way better than I used to. My sleep improved so much more, which led to me being happier, which led to me having more energy. I used to be that, even now, if I like eat something, you know, celebrational, a cake or some cookies, and I notice that I wake up throughout the night. I don't know if it's like my body's like digesting something or it's like, oh, we're not used to this. I'm the crankiest person when I don't get a good night's sleep. So mm-hmm. if that's even where, like, if that's where your head is at, you're like, I know I need to sleep better. I know I don't sleep enough or my sleep is super uninterrupted. Think of your diet. And if you're like, man, I know I can improve a little bit in my diet, that could translate into sleeping better. And then it's just a whole domino effect of like being in a healthier, happier place with your life.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. Before we send people your way, and I want people, has your book come out yet or it's still in the process of coming out?
No, it's still in the process. I'm still in the writing phase. I mean, I've written all of the chapters. Chapter 4 is a little slacking right now, but most of the chapters are written. but I now I need to like go through them and edit and make things better and all that stuff. It was going to be, I was hoping to get it out soon. Fortunately, it was a good reason. I had my TED Talk, which they're also taking their time releasing that on YouTube. But awesome. That kind of paused the book writing because I had to prepare for the talk. And then COVID happened. So.
2020, eh? It's just been a year.
Yeah. So, but it's, I gave myself a hard deadline. Like, even if I think it's the worst book I've ever written, it's getting out and people will hopefully be able to like buy it in 4 months. Like that's my
awesome. And congratulations on your TED Talk. That's incredible.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you. We'll have to make sure people are following you. So when that releases, do you want to just like, what did you chat about on the TED Talk? I'm so curious.
What the book is about. So awesome. The TED Talk was the first thought. And then as I was developing the talk and I was applying, but before I even got a yes, I'm like, I need to just apply until I get a yes. I was like, there's like a lot to this. I thought it was just going to be about like how people treat dieting and dating the same. And, you know, they jump from diet to diet and they hope each one's the one. And people do that with relationships. And like, they don't really know how to like what they're looking for and how to work through those issues, all that stuff. And then, like, as I was writing the talk, I'm like, I only, you know, there's so much I can talk about, but I only had 10 minutes, mm-hmm. you know? So I was like, that's where I got to write this book.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm so excited for people to follow you and check out everything you're doing. Before we send people your way, though, I have something that's called a bonus round, and it's 5 easy questions. It's just to get to know you kind of in the more light, fun-hearted way. Are you super jazzed? Are you super pumped?
I'm excited. I'm not the best at answering things on the fly. We'll see what happens.
They're not difficult questions. I know. The reason I don't tell people about this too is, like, people go into total panic mode when I say this. I'm like, it's 5 questions. They're easy. They're fun. And I'll probably take you off on a tangent and ask you a little bit.
That's fine. Actually, it's funny. When it comes to nutrition, I'm good at answering things on the fly. But when it comes to, like, personal things, I don't know. I'm, like, so basic. I hope people aren't looking for, like, fun, exciting answers.
Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be good. Question number 1 is, what is a podcast, book, or resource that has brought you value and you would recommend to the audience?
100% The 5-Second Rule by Mel Robbins.
Oh, somebody recommended that. I need to get it.
Oh, good. So when I talk about sleep, the reason, honestly, like, she saved me in, like, I want to be on her show. She has a talk show now. Like, I need to be on, because she literally changed my life, because the 5-Second Rule is something that you can implement at any part of your day. I implement it in my morning. It's what gets me out of the bed. So that way I don't hit the snooze button and I stick to my morning routine. And that sets, like, the trajectory for my day.
Awesome. Okay. I definitely need to read this book. Who is your favorite influencer or person to look up to for inspiration?
Jay Shetty.
Oh God. Right.
He's like a modern day monk. Yeah. So good.
Okay, Jay Shetty, if you're listening to this, you can come on Tony and mine podcast.
Yes. Well, goal of mine is to be on his podcast.
Oh, right. I know. So good. I'm putting that out there for the two of us.
Thank you. Yeah. If I get on, let's make a deal. If I get on, I have to, like, put your info in. Like, you would really like this guest. And yeah. Then if you get on, you're like, I think you would like this guest.
Perfect. Yeah. So down for that. Yeah. What are you grateful for today?
My health.
Awesome.
Not for the cliche, but, like, genuinely.
Yeah. Health is wealth. I truly believe that. I'm so curious about this one. What is your spirit animal?
Oh God. Someone just asked me this and I don't remember what my answer was. I think I did. I remember my answer, but I don't know if it's true, but I said bird.
Okay.
Because I feel like I'm a little bit different, where I went the entrepreneurial route, where most people in my life are very, like, the standard, like, 9-to-5 sort of a situation. I have a lot of dreams and goals. And so, like, I'll always come back home to the nest, but I'm going to keep flying.
Nice. Oh, I love that so much. Yeah. I know. It's funny. I was like, I need to find someone who will come on and talk about the difference between, like, a spirit animal and animal totems. Because they can come up differently. Like, an animal totem is, like, if you see something repetitively, it's, like, trying to send you a sign. And then an animal spirit is, like, it's always part of you. Like, it's always your animal spirit. It never changes. It's, like, who you kind of are in an animal format, if you will.
I love that.
My final question for you is, what is your favorite form of self-care to practice?
So for me, that's interesting, because for me, self-care is healthy living, if that makes sense. So, like, my favorite thing to practice is, I guess if I was going to button it up into, like, one way, it would just be, like, checking in with what I need and giving me that.
So good. Awesome. Yeah. Tony, this has been an incredible conversation. If people want to check out what you're up to, if they want to check out your book or your TED talk, or maybe they even want to get some coaching from you, where can everybody go and find you?
Sure. So the announcements about the book and the talk will most likely be on Instagram, where I am at tips_with_Tony. That's Tony with an I. The link in my bio will help you lead you to my website, www.tipswithtony.com. If you want to be on my newsletter list, I give a lot of free emails and stuff like that, some tips and all that. And then to work with me one-on-one, you would just go to the coaching tab. So tipswithtony.com/coaching. But if you're not really ready for coaching and you just want to learn about basic nutrition and how to kind of break up with diet culture and just learn what is actually true, because there's so much misinformation out there. I have a really great course that I find a lot of people like to kind of start with and then feel it out. And then if you want to work with me, we could always set up. I have an application process for that, so you'd have to apply. But if you want to do the course, you're welcome to get started today. And so you would just go to www.tipswithtoni.com/courses.
Perfect. I will make sure everything is linked in the show notes for you. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Toni.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you give it a 5-star rating and review. It takes 2 moments of your time and truly does make a difference in growing this community and showing support for the show. Make sure to stop by and say hi on social media, take a screenshot of this episode, tag our guest, tag me, and hashtag the show, hashtag BYL podcast. Share it out on your Instagram stories so that we can share it out on ours, and I will make sure to slide into your DMs to say hello. Until next Monday, everyone, I can't wait to see you then. Namaste.